I'll be reading from Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved."
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. First day of the week. Blessing to be gathered in the day that Christ rose from the dead. I want to welcome our guest. I'm glad that you are with us. This morning, I want to, for this month, cover some basic teachings. And my intention is, on my schedule, is to talk more about simply the Bible next week and what it is, the power of it. And I think one thing we need to talk about today in the society we live in is that there is one faith and one way. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." And this morning, we want to consider that. And I think that the text that Garrett just read for us this morning gives us an example of that. There is no other way through no other person that one must be saved. Now, I realize I'm preaching to the church that's here this morning, and most of you, if not all of us, are in total agreement with that. I want to think about that and let it allow us to affect our actions, the way that we do things. I think that in the world that we live in, oftentimes we're told to keep politics quiet and below politics, keep your religion to yourself. And so that's not a good thing. We want to be able to express ourselves and to show our faith in the way that we live. In fact, in the example that we're going to read this morning, Peter and John going into the temple for that time of teaching and prayer and the healing of that lame man, it manifested the power of God working through them, an example of them being Christians and opened a way for them to share the gospel. So we want to look at that as we're talking with others in our life, as we see things that are broken with them and we've had things in our life that have been broken with us, then our simple reply is, you know, there's a way for those things to be healed. The brokenness and the problems I've had in my life, whether it's been in my marriage or work, the things that I've struggled with addiction, Christ has been there to fix it and to make it better. And I think it's a very fitting song as well, Ken, that we sing about evangelism when we consider this subject. It's something that needs to be on our mind. And so as we agree with what is taught this morning, how do we apply it? How do we take it to the next step? And this is what we see in Acts chapter 4, verse 8 and following, that salvation is in no one else but Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 3, a lame man was healed by Peter and John in the name of Jesus Christ. It is right there. When you go back and you look in Acts chapter 3, this is what you read. So after the day of Pentecost, you have those men going to the temple. And we read about this wonderful event. And what we saw in Acts chapter 2, we had the apostles gather together, the Holy Spirit comes, there's this great wind, makes a great noise in the upper room, and a crowd gathers together. And Peter evidently knows right then, God guiding him by the Holy Spirit, "Speak now and preach to these people," and 3,000 people were saved. Here in Acts chapter 3, and the events that are about to happen after this, we have another situation. Here the power of God is demonstrating and healing a lame man there in the gate of Jerusalem. And there he goes praising God throughout the temple. And Peter again takes the opportunity, guided by God's Spirit, to speak and to preach to them. This is what happens here. It says in Acts chapter 3, "And now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour," that would have been about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, "and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom he had laid daily at the gate of the temple," that is called the Beautiful Gate, "to ask alms of those entering the temple." So this man is there. People have seen him. They know who he is. They've seen him regularly and have seen him asking for alms. You can't get around this. And then in verse 3, it says, "Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them and expecting to receive something from them, But Peter said to him, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. And notice this, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And now that's emphatic as we continue reading. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. And it's in this event Peter is able to share the gospel, able to tell them there is one right way. I want to think a little bit more about that passage in a moment. You go a little bit further down as Peter is preaching and speaking to them in Acts chapter 3. This is a part of his message here, 22 to 24. Moses said, the Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 18. Moses says this, a prophet greater than him is going to rise up. He says, you shall listen to him and whatever he tells you. That's what Moses had commanded. Obey him, all of his commands. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. Now, you got to be listening to what Peter is saying here. You've seen this man healed. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that these things were done. And he points this out. That prophet has come. It is Christ. And with Christ, it's either one way or the other. You either follow him and you're saved, or you stand against him. Even according to the words of Moses, if you stand against him, oppose him, you don't obey him, you will be, as it says, destroyed. That was Peter's message. That was what he proclaimed. It's an ultimatum, Christ or no other way. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who have come after him also proclaim these days. All the prophets spoke about this. They spoke about Christ. They spoke about the only one, the only way to salvation. Peter proclaimed again, either listen to Jesus or be destroyed. Now, in our society today, what do people do with this? They say, well, there's many different religions and many people that say that there's different ways to be saved, different ways to get to heaven or whatever they might call it, Elysium or to the afterlife or to the good place. And as long as you are a good person, you go to the good place. But that's not the gospel. And that's not what the Bible says. Everybody here has committed sin. And the Bible says without Christ, we are condemned. The way to salvation isn't by our own works. It is by faithfulness to God and to Christ. And when I am faithful to him, then I obey him. Then my good works will come from me. So Peter proclaimed, it's either Christ or nothing. And today, we need to think about that. I know all of us agree with that, but are we teaching it? In the conflict today, and many people saying there's many ways to heaven, Jesus says, no, there's one way, a narrow way, a hard way. He says the other way that leads to destruction is wide and broad that leads there. And there's one way is in Christ and by faith. And we, as Christians, must have that foundation. We must stand upon it and not forget it. Warn our friends and those who are around us, our co-workers, our neighbors, and not simply say, well, they're a good person, I'll let God handle them. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The scriptures teach it is by faith. Jesus is the only way to the Father. And to add to what we're reading this morning from Acts 3 and 4, we want to look at John chapter 14, where again, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Well, what does he mean by coming to the Father? What is the meaning of that text? Jesus declared, and here it is again, I am the way, the truth, and life. I want to think about that. What's he mean that I am the way? What's he mean that I am the truth? What's he mean that I am the life? What are the meanings of these words? So if you got your Bible open with me, this would be our exposition this morning. Look with me in John chapter 14 again. This passage many of us can quote. And have you paid attention to the context? John chapter 14. Make your own observations from the text as well. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. So this is Jesus talking to his apostles. He's telling them, I'm about to go away. I'm going to die. He's going to die the next day. So in the shadow of his own cross, he's saying these things. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I'd not tell you that I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And so that's the context of John 14, verse 6. I'm going to make a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place. There's a spacious place with my Father. There's many rooms. I'm going to go make this for you. And that would be comforting to me. I'd love to have been there to be able to hear that from Christ's mouth. And then he says, where I'm going, there is a way, and you know that way. Now, what's the response here? Listen to what Thomas says in verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And so we can see what Christ is saying here, especially with our own hindsight of Scripture. It's the only way to heaven. It's the only way to eternal life. It's the only way to that paradise that I'm preparing for you to ultimately go to. In verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That was the answer to Thomas's question. Where's the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Christ is the only path. He is the only way to access that. Only his words are truth, the way that guides us there. Only his life do we have eternal life by the fact that he rose from the dead. So you might make your own observations. Again, this is what stands out. He revealed that he was going away. He was making this great place. Jesus said that he would return and take his disciples to himself. And then in concluding, Christ emphasized to his disciples that they already knew the way. You already know the way to salvation. It is through me. So when we're talking about Christ and we're saying Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, he is the only way. That's what Peter preached. That's what the apostles proclaimed. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 near the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Few are those who are saved. Few are those who take that road. So as Christians, in the gospel that has been given to us, Jesus Christ, what he has done through his death, burial, and resurrection to give us eternal life, he's the only way. Oh, we can't forget that. I know throughout the week, those that we work with and those that we spend time with, we may get away from that. We may forget that point and simply think of them in the sense of past relationships. But this is the truth. Few are those who find that way. And back to Acts chapter 3 and 4. After the lame man was healed through Peter and John, they preached Jesus as the prophet, as we read before, and Jesus resurrected. And throughout Acts, throughout the book, you continue to see this, that he preached the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is what we read in Acts chapter 4. The apostles, because of this, because they healed this man, they're arrested. It says right here in the text, look at verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came up, and they were greatly annoyed. They were frustrated by this. I don't know another way to put it. I think the King James has another word there. But they were greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That it was only through Jesus that Jesus was risen from the dead, and they were teaching the final resurrection was through him. And they arrested them and they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and after that preaching, what happened? And the number of men came to about 5,000. The power of this gospel. If you're a Jew and you're expecting that final day of resurrection, hear this man, Jesus, who you thought would be the Messiah. What happened when some messianic figure rose up in Jewish history and they died? Well, people stopped following them. They stopped saying they were Messiah because they thought the Messiah would live forever. And here, something that was beyond their mind, he rose from the dead. He lives eternally. And all of a sudden, when the Jews and those who were hearing there in Jerusalem heard this and realized this, they started multiplying in believers, becoming Christians, hearing that there was only one way and only one way to the resurrection. Now, when they were arrested and they were questioned, how did Peter respond? I want you to look at this in Acts chapter 4 and listen to, and this was our reading this morning. I have the passage here again. I want to look at it further. So what Garrett read for us, this is what I observed from the text, that Peter addressed the healing of the crippled man. Now, I think when the Sanhedrin was saying, by what name did you come into the temple and start preaching? That was really what I think they were asking. And Peter says, you want to know by what reason we did this good deed and healed this man? I'll tell you, it's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then Peter again used that opportunity to preach. Peter made known that the man was healed in Jesus' name by that authority. And then Peter identified Jesus as the one crucified that God raised from the dead, always emphasizing that, and that Jesus is the cornerstone that you, the builders, rejected, as was prophesied in Psalm 118, and that there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. Look with me again in Acts chapter 4. Just read verse 12. Peter said to them, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You see, there is no room for us to compromise and say, well, I have a friend who's of another faith. They're a nice person. They're a kind person. They must be okay. The Bible says salvation is in no other name. It's only through Christ. And then we start to think, what do we do in Jesus' name? Throughout the Bible, throughout the scriptures, from the Great Commission in Matthew 28, what was done in his name? What did Peter preach in Acts 2 and verse 38 that was done in his name? Baptism. Baptism. Matthew 28, Jesus says, to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name, and it's singular, name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. One name representing them all, encompassing them all in the baptism. Acts 2:38, Peter preached, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. In Acts chapter 10, Peter preached to Cornelius and said, salvation is in Jesus' name. Forgiveness of sins is in his name. And he commanded him, the only thing to do in his name, be baptized. That's the power of the name of Christ. There's no salvation in any other, in no one else, only in the name of Christ. We've got to believe that and have a conviction to be able to tell others, to be able to share the gospel with others. The gospel excludes salvation to those who do not believe. There are no other religions that can find justification or say that they are right. Only through Christ. I want you also to think about this before we conclude this morning. Remember Cornelius. I preached a sermon recently on him, but we noticed this about him. Before Cornelius was saved, he was a faithful man, faithful to God. He prayed a lot. He was generous. He gave alms. He was a benevolent man. People respected him and knew who he was, but he was not saved until he heard the gospel and he obeyed it and he was saved through the name of Christ. Now we can think about it and say, I don't know how this person, my neighbor, my friend, how I can share the gospel with them. They're a good person. They pray. They have their own faith. But if their salvation is not in Christ, if they have not been baptized in his name, they have not been saved yet. That must be our conviction. Those of other religions are lost without Christ. And see, when you say that there's another way, that you can find another path up the mountain or you can find access to heaven any other way, you undermine the scriptures and you deny it. And someone might say, well, these people are kind of nice, but being kind of nice doesn't save you. Faithfulness saves you. Paul revealed that those who confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that Jesus rose from the dead are those who will be saved. In fact, Paul emphatically said at the end of 1 Corinthians 16, if anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. If no one has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Let him be condemned. Our Lord come. There is no other way. So what would some other way to the good place mean? It would mean that Jesus' sacrifice didn't fix everything, that he didn't have to die, that there could have been some other way, that he wasn't essential, that essentially Jesus dying was kind of pointless because there was another path. If we allow that and if we don't teach the gospel to others, that's essentially what we're admitting to. Number two, if we were to say there's some other way, God's holy nature, the word, morality, and righteousness have no absolute value. Someone else's religion to say, well, this is mine, this is what I believe, and I have my own writings and my own morality, my own way, and all of a sudden everything that Christ died for and went through all the scriptures that we have essentially would mean nothing to us. Number three, if there is another way, then the afterlife is not resurrection. If you look throughout history, from Buddhism to Stoicism, Platonism, and even to those who are kind of atheistic today, and they say, well, I'm a good person when I die, what's going to happen to me? Well, my soul's going to separate from my body, and my soul's going to go live in eternity in the afterlife. That was the way the pagans believed. And it rejects the resurrection, that finally on one day, we will all rise again. And that's what it means when some people say there's another way. And for us as Christians, not to speak to those that we care about, that are around us, that are nice, and they are kind. And if we learn from the example of Lydia and Cornelius and the Philippian jailer, it is those people who are most likely to listen to the gospel. There are not many paths to the good place. As many would say, Christ is the only way to salvation. Later on, the apostles are arrested again, and they stand before the Sanhedrin, and Peter says this, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Again, there is no other way. And to obey God means to proclaim Jesus risen from the dead. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way to him. There is no other way to the Father except through him. A lot of people will say, well, there, and there are different ways in Jesus. That makes little sense. The point is, Jesus was saying, there's only one way to the Father, and it's through me, to follow me. This morning, if you're not a Christian, become one. There's only one way. And the Bible teaches us that we need to conform to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. That means that I believe and then I confess that Jesus is Lord, that he rose from the dead, and having believed that, I repent of my sins, turn away from those evil things. I am baptized. I bury my old self, and with that burial is God who raises me up and washes away all my sins. In Acts 2:38, Peter proclaimed, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This morning, you want to become a Christian? You can do that. There's only one way, and it's through Christ. If you've fallen away, if you have drifted away from evangelizing, seeing how important it is to teach the gospel to those around you, your family, your friends, neighbors, and coworkers, we need to repent. We need to repent. If you need prayers this morning, we encourage you to come right now while we stand and while we sing. Please come.